everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts. My name is Mark, your sometimes host, sometimes not so much host. And I am joined this week, as always, by the two guys you came here to see, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and the executive, Eric Ardini. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, I'm good. It's been a good week. Man, I tell you what, I almost didn't make it to the show tonight because of meetings. I literally got out of the last meeting at about 7:30 my time and jumped in the car, got in here, and fired up this computer. It's cutting it close. I bought a new car this week in the dark after another meeting. This week of the month is like the worst week for me as far as hours goes, because I don't get paid by the hour, but I work a lot of them. So it's like 8 to 8 a lot of the days this week, but then I still managed to buy a new car. And it was on Craigslist, so they were really freaking out. They're like, why does this guy want to come buy a car in the dark? And he was telling me this, the guy I bought it from. He's like, well, you know what the gun is, honey, in case, you know, you see anything going down outside, you know, or whatever.
So it's not a new car.
It's a used car. No, I bought it from a private party, and new to me, you know. That's my week so far. And then next week, I'm not here at all.
Oh, I had one of those days where at the end of a long day anyway, my Google Now pops up and says, there are multiple accidents on the way, and your time to home is approximately 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, my.
Ooh. It just makes you want to cry.
There's no way I could ever, I don't think that Google Now could ever possibly tell me that in the town and the place where I live. I cannot see a scenario that could ever lead to an over 2 hour drive home.
A component of my job requires that I travel, day travel. I'm not overnight very often. And this was one of those days where I was what is normally an hour and a half, hour 45 on the best of times. And then there's construction and accidents. So yeah, it just stacked up.
And was it, did you get to drive by it and gawk at it for a little while?
I made Google Maps earn their not money that I don't pay them. Every time I saw traffic, I'd make a right turn and make it reroute me. And it worked. I don't know that I saved even 1 second of time, but I didn't sit in traffic. So that's okay.
Yeah, that's how my week always goes. It seems like the wife would rather take 5 more minutes than that same amount of time sitting in traffic. So we constantly make Google Maps recalculate. But this week, it hasn't really been like that. I took off Monday to quote-unquote detox from OLF. but I also updated the website. Huge thanks goes out to Steve C. and to Richard Quarren. You guys, every compliment I get, Steve C. and Richard are the guys who made it look good. I'm just the guy that put it up. Okay. I'm the big dummy who, like, you know, just did it, but they're the ones who actually created it. The feeds were broke. Now they're fixed. Okay. That's really all that matters. They're fixed now. But I had to take off work also Wednesday and Thursday because my youngest son, second grade, got suspended from school again.
Oh, man.
And we didn't want to send him to normal daycare because we thought we were afraid it'd be too much like a vacation. So I stayed home with him, and he basically did housework the entire time. And then today I had to take off because I had to have a meeting back at school before he could re-enter. So we did that this morning. So I've been not at work.
Being not at work is a good thing, but those are not the reasons to be not at work.
Exactly. So it's nice to see other people. Instead of just dealing with a 7-year-old kid making him do housework and chores around the house, it's good to see you guys.
I've come to the conclusion that if I worked from home, like full time, I would become one of those people that makes stacks of magazines that turns into a maze through the house. I just couldn't spend that much time with myself. I'm not good enough company to spend that much time with me.
Yeah. I got to say, when I worked out of my house, I really enjoyed that time. And, It makes you work harder to justify the lifestyle that you've chosen. Then, a lot of people look at you like, hey, well, that's not bad, huh? You just like kind of sit around all day. Well, yeah.
Right. Well, and now here's the thing: I took off last Thursday and Friday to drive to OLF and be at OLF. I took off Monday to recoup for OLF and put up the new website. I then emergency had to take off Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm going back to work on Friday. Then I have off Monday because it's a holiday, Columbus Day. And then the school asked me if I could come in Tuesday at 1 o'clock for a meeting with their counselor, whatever, whatever. So because I carpool and the meeting's at 1:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to take off Tuesday as well. So when I'm not at work, I nap a lot. That's what I'm finding out.
Wow. I want your job. If I took off that many days at work, I would be in the unemployment line.
Well, I did have a director, not a manager, not a supervisor, a director one time tell me he thought I used too much leave, to which I prompted him to please put that in writing. And when he asked why, I said, so I can grievance you because I'm not getting whopped without pay. I'm using the leave I earned. And if you have a problem with the amount of leave I earn, you need to go talk to a state counselor or a representative because that needs to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those weird corporate things where they give you an X amount of time off and then they get mad if you don't take it. But if you do take it, they're like, you know, your projects are falling behind. You need to get to work.
Yeah. I my job, it's not spelled out in any place at all how much time I get off. Yet I haven't yet taken advantage of that.
All right. But real quick, Mark, before we get into the apps, even though we've already been here for 15 minutes or whatever, I received this device the day before I was leaving for OLF. If people are watching the video now, it is roughly the size of a 3DS XL. The form factor is almost a blatant ripoff of the 3DS XL. Pop the lid open. There's no screen on the bottom. You just have the top screen. This is a Android gaming machine that I've been literally beating up. I've been like destroying as much as I can. And my oldest son is literally like infatuated with this thing. He loves this thing.
Did you say there's a touch screen on the bottom too? Is that a touch pad in the middle?
No. Okay. It is a touch screen on the top. The bottom is just a blank spot in the middle, but it does have your typical shoulder buttons, two sets of shoulder buttons, two genuine joysticks, and not slider sticks, but joysticks. X, A, B, Y, L3, R3, directional pad, start, select, back, home, menu, volume. The other one I had would every now and then heat up and just power off. We've thrown everything at this thing, and it runs like a champ, and I'm literally getting close to 6 hours battery life playing this thing. $150, called the GPD XD5. Got it from Geek Buying. This little puppy rocks, and I'm probably going to get one for my oldest son for Christmas. He's enjoying it so much.
What version of Android's on that?
I believe it's 4.2.2, to which I also follow up saying, I don't care. As long as the games that he wants works, and my retro emulators work, it could be running Eclair for all I care.
But that.
So what's the launcher experience like? I mean, when you boot it up, you just get like an Android screen of icons, or is it more like a Game Boy where you pick your things? What's the experience like prior to the game?
The default launcher when you boot it up, I'm going to say, is nothing like default Android. My other Hangout left. Give me one second, guys. It is not default Android when you boot it up. It has a custom interface that was a purchasing place, I'm going to say, except everything was free. You could freely browse the interface and download and install games, quote-unquote, for free, whether they were arcade games, Genesis games, Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, anything. So it had its nice little interface. But if you know Android, you simply go up into the top corner, go to your settings, go to your home launcher, and then you can pick a normal, quote-unquote, home screen where you actually have your own little app drawer to where you can access the Google Play Store, was installed by default, put your a account in, download away.
Oh, so it's a Google-certified device.
Yeah.
If it's got the Play Store.
Well, I don't know about Google-certified, but it does come shipped with a Google Play on it.
All right.
Yeah, and it...
So it's... What's the battery life like?
I've seen at least 6 hours, which, to be honest, blew me away. I thought I was only going to get like two and a half. But I purposely turn off Wi-Fi unless I'm doing something actively on it. So the kid is getting easy 4 hours of gameplay.
How about Netflix and YouTube? Did you say play them pretty well? Have you checked that out?
YouTube, perfectly like a champ. Netflix, I haven't even installed. I have my tablet or my phone when I want to do that kind of stuff. I'm trying to use this as only a gaming type experience. It has the exact same mechanics that when you're in a game that does not have true game support. There's this dedicated hardware button that then on the screen puts all of your hardware buttons. You just drag and drop them to where you want, hit save. What's missing, what would make this epic, is if when you start a game up, it would search an online database and download a configuration automatically. That would make it so a kid of any age can download any game and it just works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Works like a champ. Pocket size, large pocket, but pocket size, handheld game emulation, and high-end gaming, just bliss.
How big would you say that screen is?
Well, I'm going to say at least 5 inches, because if I hold it up to my phone is literally the OnePlus One, and it's not far off. So I'm going to say like 5.5 inches, and the screen is technically higher resolution than the 3DS screen.
That's cool.
Yeah, I am going to plan on doing a video. I need to get like a mount for my other webcam so I can point that at the GPD while I'm showing the games off, playing the games. I got to get that. Amazon, here I come.
All right. Well, so let's shake things up a little bit and let Eric start with an
That's app. A lot of pressure, Mark.
That's pressure, I know.
Jeez. I don't know. I guess I got an app. This is called VHS Camera Recorder. And I will put the link right there. Basically, this takes your phone or tablet, and you can make retro-looking videos that you can, you know, tell all your friends were recorded back in the 80s, and this actually happened, and you're from the future or something. And that's why you have it on your phone now. It'll throw the little, the subtitle of the AM and date and time, and it's got the little jigglies at the very bottom, you know, where the tracking control wasn't quite right on the VHS tape, and that it adds that. But then from there, and that's just an overlay effect that looks really well. But then they've got all kinds of other overlays and effects that you can change your video with too. It's called VHS Camera, but it actually does quite a bit more.
It's just like Instagram. It's taking something that's modern and high quality and making it crappy and old, and people like.
Yeah, it's for ambiance though. If you've got like a project ambience you're doing and you want it to make it look, you know, there's might be certain times that, you know, you need something to look vintage. They've even got that 1930s look where it's got, you know, random blacks backs and, you know, maybe the film will break
the
60s or whatever.
Square vertical line look. That's cool.
And then there's
actually,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dor.
I was going to say, Eric says the word ambiance and it just makes me laugh. What I will say is if you are a producer of content, whether it be in school for a project or on the internet, where you want something to look old and you don't want to do any filters or anything on any video editor, then this might be a good option where you don't have to do as much pre-work or post-work to get that kind of look. But anybody who just downloads it because you think it looks cool, I'm on the side with Mark. You know, what's wrong with you people?
And that,
well, I mean, can it export as something useful? I mean, nobody yet, we're not there yet, does any serious video editing work on an Android device.
Well, serious is a strong word, and I don't think it's possible.
Well, you just said content creator, project, right? I can't see myself creating a project of any significance on an Android device.
Junior high project, high school project.
I mean, a six-second Vine,
well,
maybe?
They're using their iPods all the time and iPhones to make content now.
Well, and there's no doubt you can save it as, I want to say MP4, but that's not probably it, where you can save it off, put it on a Dropbox, pull it down to your desktop to put into your compilation of video kind of thing. It's just a input capture device is what I'll say.
Yeah, it's got some drunk effects.
I fully admit that I'm being a curmudgeon right here, but I'm just... It always irks me a little bit when people try to shoehorn apps that just don't belong on a mobile platform into a mobile platform. And this feels to me like something that just shouldn't be.
No. Because, see, I've owned camcorders, and none of my camcorders would do this, would have these effects built. Well, no, I take that back. They had some very rudimentary effects, but they didn't go nearly as far as this does.
But did you use in-camera effects? If you needed effects, you downloaded it to your computer.
Oh, No, well, I owned a camera, a camcorder, a digital camcorder back when I was running it off of a Pentium 2 to do my video editing. So there wasn't a whole lot of effects when you got in the post either. So no, most of the effects were on there. But this, yeah, this takes that out of it. You don't have to, you can video or videotape. You can record your video presentation with this, with your effects right on it and post it straight to YouTube. No post is necessary, and you can still get a strange effect if you need to make it look blurry, like the dog licked a toad, and then all of a sudden everything's weird, you know. And you don't have to go back and, you know, it's just a funny little video that's like, you know, something for a project, and then you don't have to go out and buy Adobe, you know, Premiere or something, or buy an Apple product.
Okay, I'll get off your lawn.
Well, and I'll say the only reason I had a example of why this would be needed was because I had this app in my list too. Otherwise, I would have just downed it as well.
Well, that's what I do. See, I don't bring apps. I just complain.
I could see 1% of the population using this app to an actual end goal of I'm putting together this project, not just this one video to like Vine, like you say. But I really hope they listen to our show or else everyone out there is just laughing at us.
That's our 1%.
All right, Dor, keep the laughs coming. What's your first app of the
evening? Well, this... Oh, okay. You want laughs. You did it. It's your fault. Let me get this link. I'm going to put it in the chat because I want to hear your guys' reaction before I go too far in describing this. Hello. My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. It's the Princess Bride video game on Android. And
this will keep the laughs going for sure.
If you do not like this movie, I hope I never meet you in real life. Because there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, we can't be friends.
What if you haven't seen it?
We can't be friends.
Then we can't be friends
either. That's not okay. Yeah. We have to stop this podcast right now while you go watch
it. If you haven't seen it, you must be an alien or something. This, and I'm going to say this, a lot of video games are purposely not like their content. This actually tries to be like the content. You're Buttercup, you're over the edge of the ship. You're the man in black climbing up the cliffs. You're at the top. Sword fighting, where you say, I'm not left-handed, me neither. And you have to fight the giant. You have to wrestle him.
Not my fault being the biggest and the strongest. Yeah.
This just, as soon as I saw the graphic style, I just couldn't help myself just from stop giggling and smiling and laughing. It's $3.99, and I don't care. I instantaneously bought it because, you know, it's good to be the king.
Mark, this is you, man.
If you've got an hour to kill, I could quote you the entire movie. I could do that.
Boo! Boo!
It is literally, without a doubt, no exaggeration, my favorite movie
of all time. Oh, man, I need to go watch it now, then. I've heard of it.
Well, hey, I too, am just like literally infatuated with this movie from the first time I saw it. But I'm not going to lie. Part of the reason I brought this was, let's see Mark say something bad about this. Come on. Because you can't. I mean, you can't.
It's You're the right. princess. I can't.
It has R-O-U-S's. You know, it's just.
Frankly, I don't think they exist.
Exactly. Yeah, this was just, I mean, it was just too good. It's like I say, just too damn good. And whoever made this, I hope they become stinking rich.
I love me some Princess Bride, and I can't do it. My personal ethics won't allow me to spend $4 for a frivolous game, but I'm sure tempted.
Well, you know, I'm tempted to send you some Google Play credit money.
take more surveys, Mark.
Yeah, take more surveys.
Yeah, I've made this joke before. It's like we'll spend $700 on the latest and greatest phone, but then when it comes to time to spend $1.99 for an app, oh, I don't know about that. That's a little pricey.
Yeah, I've gotten over that, Mark. Once you become addicted, it goes... You can justify anything, really.
Well, my whole logic with all app purchases isn't that I'm buying the app. It's that I'm telling somebody out there, I'm voting, telling somebody out there, I really like what you did. Please keep it up. And whoever made this, whatever you do next, just keep doing it.
So quick question off the topic. Dork, Eric, do you guys leave reviews on Amazon or, you know, wherever, eBay?
Yes.
Amazon, sometimes. On Google, only when I feel strongly, positively, or negatively about something, about an app.
Right. Yeah, that's the way I am. And yeah, I don't make it a habit to leave a review unless I've been asked to or I feel strongly about it one way or the other.
I do not ever purchase anything on Amazon without reading at least two of the reviews, yet I've never written one. I'm such a digital hypocrite in that way. I believe reviews are super important. No. I've just never done it. And here's the reason. There's reasons why I haven't. So I always think I want to give a well-reasoned review. I don't want to be one of those guys that says, I just opened the package and it looks nice. So I want to live with something for a while and decide whether I like it. And then by that time, I forget to go leave the review.
Yeah, Mark, it's perfectly adorable. It's the same logic of you don't pee in the pool. There's certain people that pee and then there's certain people that drink and you can't pee both. That's just wrong.
I don't even follow that.
I've reviewed a lot of apps, yet I've never written one. You know, I've played with tons of apps and I've never written one. You know, that's not my thing yet.
You know, I beg for people to leave podcast feedback for my podcast. I've never written one. I'm a terrible person in that way.
I'm not terrible. There are, you know, there are givers and there are takers. Some people, you know, some people are put upon this earth to, you know, hunt and gather. And some people were put on this earth to, I don't know, something else. I'm trying to make
consume. Consume. As consumers and producers.
No. Yeah, like bacon.
All right, so app now email. This one is a very short email, but it I think could be a long discussion. Todd Evans sends us an email letting us know that Life Hacker reports that Verizon is phasing out unlimited plans. Not phasing out, but raising the price on unlimited plans. And a companion app link that I will put in the article later because I forgot to. Ars Technica ran a report about a man who got a letter from AT&T saying, if you don't stop tethering, we're going to cancel your unlimited, when he's never tethered and doesn't even know how. So the overall thing here is that nobody wants you to have an unlimited plan because that is the last cash cow of mobile people. They've given up on texting.
T-Mobile just launched an unlimited plan about a year ago. So there are people who are in the beginning of the roller coaster, click, 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 click. And then there are people who are pulling into the last stop. And Verizon clearly wants you to get the hell off the roller coaster. We're tired, people.
Especially you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell my buddies, you know, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's changing data on mobile because they hate me. Because I use 50 gigs a month. They're like, what? How much? You mean like gigabytes? How can you possibly use five? Don't ask. I just do. Okay.
I just today had to install an AT&T micro cell in my house, those things that connect to your internet, because I live in an area with crappy Wi-Fi. I've been living with it for 3 years. Finally, I was just done with it, and I called AT&T and said, look, I've been a customer for 20 years. Since 1996, I've been a customer with you, and I want one of these things, and I'm not paying for it. And I went through a couple of people, and finally somebody said, all right, we'll send you one. And so as I'm setting it up today, I'm thinking, I wonder, when I'm connected to this, are they still going to charge me bandwidth usage?
Yep.
I bet they are.
Oh, yeah, they are. Absolutely. I mean,
I'm not using any of their bandwidth. I'm using my bandwidth because it's connected to my broadband, but I bet that's going to count against me.
It doesn't matter. Any way a company can make money, it's going to do it. And I want to say it was, Virgin was the first one who gave away those, and then people found out, you're still charging me for it, but I'm not using your bandwidth. Well, but you're using our device. No. I'm not using your bandwidth, but you're using our device. It's like, you know, there's no winning.
So what do you guys think about, just have a little discussion about this, about the whole paying for data. Is it time that we stop paying for data?
Yes.
Like we stop paying for minutes and we stop paying for texts?
I still have unlimited data, and I found out it's not going away. And I also found out that US Cellular, for the poor people who don't have unlimited data through them, I think there's four of us left. And the family plans have gone down in price. They're reducing their prices for the data. But no, I think unlimited data needs to be a real thing for a reasonable amount of money for everybody.
So how do people make money then?
Well, yeah.
Off that reasonable charge.
Well, no. There's only a couple ways you can make money. I'm a believer you shouldn't charge the bit. You should charge the speed. Most people don't need 4G LTE. That's just the bottom line. Most people don't need it. Most people don't need 150 down and up at their house either. I got that. I'm willing to pay for the speed more than other people because they don't need the speed. You know, on my phone, same thing. I got no problem paying a little bit more than everybody else because I'm going to use it more than everyone else. And I expect to have faster service than everybody else. So I say charge for speed, not for bits. But I know I'm not in the populace there.
Can they? Do they have enough power to change the speed to allow for that? And would it make any difference if everybody's wide open? I mean, as far as their network capacity, would it make any difference on their end whether everybody's going five up, five down, or two up, two down?
Technically, yes, because they need less hardware to push slower speeds. You need more hardware to push faster speed.
I know this is an entirely American-centric discussion. Our European and global listeners right now are calling us a bunch of whiners. But in the U.S., I can't think of anything else that I pay a flat rate for unlimited on. My water bill, I pay by the gallon. My electric bill, I pay by the kilowatt hour. My gas bill, I pay by the whatever that unit is. Everything I pay for is metered. But when it comes to bandwidth, no, I don't want that.
I know, but there's a finite amount of water. There's a finite amount of electricity in the plant. Those things are finite. Bits are not finite. I can exchange data back and forth over my network from now to the end of time. And all it is data. Data is not real. Data is not physical. Data is not tangible. Data is not finite. So I don't like the idea of charging for something that's not finite.
Right. I've made that argument too. You're paying for something that's infinite. You're charging for the wrong thing. You should be paying for the pipe. But, you know, when you look at it though, what else in the world do I pay for the pipe? I can't come up with anything.
When I go to buffet.
Well, could be the lack of toll roads and the increase in sales tax. Okay. Sales tax, it doesn't matter how much road you're using.
Exactly.
You're still paying the same amount. It used to be toll roads.
Which is why there are states looking at putting a device in every car in their state. And the more state roads you're on, the more they charge you.
That would be going back to that.
Yeah, but that's bad.
Oh, yeah. That's bad. No, I was just trying. That was the first idea. I haven't had a chance to think about this, but that was the first item that popped in my head. There may be others. There may not be. You know,
I don't know.
There's just something I think we all have in the back of our heads that bits are not something that they have to produce, so they shouldn't act like they are.
Well, it's the same argument that pirates make about stealing music and movies, right? You didn't pay anything for the bits that make up this movie.
See, I don't agree with that.
Well, exactly. So if you don't agree with that, how come you have to agree with that the internet is we're all a bunch of hypocrites, saying.
Welcome to the United States of America. We're one of the most hypocritical countries I think ever in existence.
And I'm right there with you because I just admitted my own hypocrisy there. I decry the fact. I think it wouldn't bother me if bits were charged reasonably, right? A gallon of water is charged reasonably. A kilowatt hour of electricity is charged reasonably. Bits are charged exorbitantly. And if they lowered their rate to, you know, some fraction of a penny per bit, I'd probably be okay with it.
I'm not going to disagree, because here's one of my logic things. 99.9999999% of the things I download, I don't need in quote-unquote like 4K type resolution or that kind of high, super high quality. So if I was paying for the bits, every piece of video that comes in my house would be like standard definition. If it's up to me, because I don't care. Thus, I would have a cost savings there.
Of course, also, I'm continuing my own analogy. If you're talking about water, there is the pipe that brings water into my house is bigger than I can use. Short of trying to fill a swimming pool, anything I need to do in my house, I have ample amount of water. I could do whatever, electricity the same way too. I mean, short of installing several electric pizza ovens, anything I want to run in my house, I have more than enough electricity to do it. I can't say that for bandwidth, for either my cable broadband, or DSL in my case, or my telephone. There's not a virtually unlimited. So we're saying that water is finite and electricity is finite, but in terms of my usage of it, I can open the faucet up and let it run all day long forever and never run out of water.
I know, but the difference is we've had water for a long time, so it's kind of lost its allure.
Right.
I'm sure back in the day, we would have just turned on the faucet and said, look at that, I got some water.
How much would we have paid for that too, right? So in the early days of indoor plumbing, we would have paid hundreds of dollars for it, for the privilege. And now we complain when the bill is, you know, $100.
I think we're at the point where the internet's not that shiny and it needs to start getting in its place as a utility like water, electric, and everything
well,
else.
Well, I know, but then I'll fall back to me. Here, see, nobody should ever classify, man, Mark, nobody should ever classify themselves, in my humble opinion, to be X for everything, whether it's conservative, whether it's liberal or whatever, because everyone has their own issues. Okay, me, I almost feel like, and I'm really close to feeling like, water should be a human right. I mean, if you're alive, if you're human, you should have access to water. And if you can't afford access to water, we need to find a way that you can still get water. Bits are becoming so ubiquitous in economics, jobs, industries, humanity in the Western world. It's nearly becoming something that should be a human right. And the real people I worry about with both water and bits are either the people with bad physical impairments or the people that literally just don't have the wherewithal to make a comfortable living in this country. They need to still have water. They still need to have food. They still need to have some kind of internet access. Should they have the blazing fast speeds that we have? Should they have an endless size pipe for water? Maybe not, but they need something.
And Comcast here, as much as I hate them, they do offer like $5 or $15 internet for people who have kids in school who are under a certain amount of income for the year. That's the only good thing they do for anybody, though. I'm sorry. As far as the speed, like, okay, the only reason I have Comcast, I don't want their TV, but I only take it because it's cheaper to get their internet with it. I don't subscribe. I don't get the DIY channel or any of the channels that I might actually want to watch because I think it's way too overpriced and I'm just not going to, I don't care enough. And I don't know. Mark, come on. Let's have some apps.
Okay. Let's move on. So, Dor, what you got next?
No.
See, I'm breaking the cycle. You complained that you went first.
I'm not scared anymore.
Using
though.
The power of the microphone.
I've lost my shyness of being first. This right here. I don't remember who told us about this. TSF Launcher 3D Shell. Used to be a really expensive launcher. It's a very extremely beautiful launcher. I don't see myself changing my launcher for a long time now. It was like a $15 app. Now it's free. Or it was free. Hopefully it's still free. In the Google Play Store. And this is so cool. If you want to, you don't even have to show it off to nobody. Just use it in front of other people, and they're going to notice, like, whoa, dude, what kind of phone is that? It's got the coolest effects. I didn't even change anything from the stock configuration yet. I just love the whole look and feel of the way they do things. It's got little,
And there's a cat in the video, so what more do you need?
It's just the transitions when you're going through your apps. You hit your home button, and things just kind of, like, your weather just kind of bounces around in a neat way.
Eric, here's one thing I like. Go back into your app drawer, and by default, it's horizontal. I despise horizontal app drawers. If you start to swipe vertical, it changes to a vertical app drawer. No, go down, up to down. No, too far up.
Right. Yeah. No, right. Yeah. You're right.
And it will change to a vertical app drawer. Yeah. This used to be, I believe, when it was first brand new, $30.
And
then it was down to $18 for the longest time.
And then you grab these letters on the side, and it so quickly goes through all of your apps. By letter that you can get right there real quick. It's just so full of great looking features. It like blurs everything in the background while it brings the things to the foreground that are interesting right at that time.
So it's Windows Vista for your Android phone.
Okay. I can't remember the name.
I wouldn't say that.
But literally 5 years ago on Linux for the Rest of Us, I talked about a quote unquote revolutionary style desktop that was very weird.
Yeah.
And like one of the things in here is you can lasso stuff and you can do a lot of those kind of effects. That's what this is emulating. I can't remember the name of it, but it was bought up shortly thereafter. And it was from people who do like DoD style stuff picked it up. This is the kind of launcher Easter eggs galore. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, everywhere you touch, there's something else to discover. This is a lot of fun to use, but it might be one of those things. I just want my desktop to be my desktop. I don't want it to be all this fancy stuff. So for those people, you know, if you do load this, you don't have to. You can just use it as it is. And today's modern hardware, the problem with this when it was brand new, the hardware sucked. Yeah. And this thing would kill your battery unbelievably quick, where now you can load it and you're really not going to notice that much of a hit.
It certainly looks cool, but just from the video, I haven't tried it. Just from the video, it appears to slow things down. Like he went to his text messages, and there were like 7 seconds of fanciness before he actually got to see his text messages.
Your experience? I would have to say it's not that. I've got a Note 4, which I mean it's not the newest phone, but it's still pretty powerful. There is zero lag on this.
I'm not talking about the lag. I'm just talking about do you have to wait for the animation to finish to get to the thing you want?
And that's part of it. Old launchers would literally slow things down by having animations in them, thus giving applications time to load. And then if you went into your developer settings, you could turn off animations. It would literally speed up your desktop unbelievably. This is almost reversing that to where now it's doing these animations for pretty effects. When it's done doing its animation, every app should be ready to roll. But yes, literally have to wait for animations to do anything.
Now, I'm not rooted. I'm not ROM'd. So I'm going from either the Google launcher or Nova launcher or even the stock Samsung TouchWiz. And there's no difference using this as far as speed from any of those that I could tell. I'm not saying that those are extremely responsive 100% of the time, because there are moments of lag in certain instances too, but it's no different or it's no worse.
Yeah, I encourage people to download this, not to use it as your daily driver. Download it, install it, play with it, see what kind of things can be done. I use this as a template on what to look at in other launchers. So it gave me a better idea of what something was called in this other launcher that I'm looking for that in this other launcher kind of thing. It was more of an education, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I don't know if users' reviews are just are customized by the person who's looking at them, but it's neat when you've got two of our Android App Addicts users that pop up as two of the first four user reviews, and that may just be the way I see it. I don't know if you guys pull up if you guys scroll down to the user reviews at all, if you recognize any names down there.
Well, that
can be customized.
Circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in people who are in your circles who left reviews do end up being higher in the review listing.
But thank you, TSFUI, for dropping the price on this and opening it up to more people.
What do you think his reasoning for that was? Wasn't making any money anyway?
Was making no money? No.
It was too high.
It was too expensive. If they put it down to like $1, $1.50, maybe $2.
Yeah.
It would have been okay, but they literally, I think before this dropped to free, I think it was still $17 or $14.
And I've paid for like launcher, the pro version of different launchers, quite a few probably, actually.
I paid for this full version just because I wanted to play with it.
And if you're into customizing things the way you want them to, and the reason you got that Android was to have it your way because you couldn't stand the stock thing, this is a launcher you might want to, you know, play with for quite a while. Get it tuned in just the way you like it.
I'm playing with it right now. So you guys go ahead with
the show. Mark's going to be busy for a little bit.
Okay. What I'm going to bring is not a launcher. It is an Android quote-unquote experiment, and it's called Meter, M-E-T-E-R. This is really difficult to explain. This is a artsy, stylized wallpaper that's an active wallpaper, a live wallpaper. But what it's showing you in very artistic ways is different things that you can monitor on your phone, whether it's your battery or your Wi-Fi signal activity, how many notifications you have, a whole bunch of different things. It's just really interesting is the way I'll put it. This is the kind of thing that you might download, you might install, and the way it displays battery might be the perfect way you ever thought. I definitely thought it was cool, but I have something against live backgrounds, even if they're parallaxing. So I installed it. I left it on for a day, and then I took it off.
Were these parallaxing?
No.
I do like the Google experiments. They're neat little projects that it's kind of like, why didn't I think of that? To have a battery meter that takes up your entire back screen and is still stylized and looks decent, and from a distance, you're not going to know that that's your battery indicator.
Right.
I think that's cool. notifications, just a bunch of stacked up blue bars. That's ingenious. I am curious. I do want to check out the Tunnel Vision app after looking at this home screen too long, though. I want to see what that's about.
Gotcha.
So for a long time, I had the Liquid Smoke Live wallpaper that was popular for a while, and it was kind of cool. Now, for about a year, I've been using the 500 Fire paper. You guys familiar with that one?
I'm sure we've talked
about it on the show
before. Yeah, it does sound familiar.
So 500px is a website sort of like Flickr. Yeah. And this goes and downloads a random image from that and throws it as my background. I love it. Every time I look at my phone, every time I unlock the screen, it's like, oh, cool, something new.
Do you like Bing, Mark?
There's a little... I like that one feature of Bing.
Okay, just wondered.
I just don't want to search it. I just want to load it once a day and look at it.
Yeah, was that Fire Paper?
500 Fire Paper. Gotcha. 500.
Yeah, I remember the name, but I definitely do not notice the icon when I'm looking at it in the store, in the Play Store. But yeah, these are pretty epic looking backgrounds.
Yeah, and you could definitely get not safe for work images, but you can tune that as well. And so I've got mine looking at mostly landscapes and animals and things like that. But if you're into that, if you want the boobs and the butts, you can have that on your phone.
You can tune that in that way too, huh? That's good.
That's right. A new boob every time you push the unlock button.
All right, we better put a link in the show notes for 500 Fire wallpaper.
It will be there.
Okay, so that was now door. It's up to you when you're done filling in my slack.
Okay, I'm going to bring this one as a example of growth, if you will, in the Google Play Store. We've seen a whole bunch of baseball, football, basketball kind of games. We've even seen rugby kind of, cricket style games and soccer kind of games. We now have a rugby game. To me, when I think of rugby, I think of it as a second, and this is going to insult people out there, I'm really sorry. I think of it as almost a second or third year sport. I say that with many of my family members, my mom's family back in Ireland, who are literally all stars at rugby. Thankfully, they're not here to kick my butt, or else I'm sure they would. But this is actually a really good looking game. When you can take a game that doesn't have the money of NFL football or Premier League soccer, and you can make a good-looking game for it, that's actually pretty awesome. This has all of the aspects of rugby that I know of, like the scrums, the side pitching, passing, the big kicking. This actually seems like fun, and this almost makes me want to watch some pirated streams of rugby online.
Can your player lose his teeth?
I'm sure you can be taken off on a stretcher because it's rugby. I mean, come on.
You know, I heard of the word scrum and I've seen a little bit here and there, but just watching this video of the game itself in gameplay, it's a lot like American football. It looks like the gameplay is very similar. Like American football really definitely took a lot of its tones from rugby to get to where it's at now.
Well, yes, but there's no downs. There's no pads. They call us...
There's no forward pass.
No forward pass. They call us sissies. You know, yeah. So, yeah. But the goal, the uprights, the overall field, the ball, the pitching, some of the basic mechanics, yes. It's definitely... We took that sport and, quote-unquote, made it our own.
Kind of game, if you were playing with, your game stick or something, and you had force feedback or, like, not even rumble pads, it would just hit you in the face. It would rumble so hard when you... on your controller.
That's the next step, though. With what's the thing where you
the Google cardboard? Yeah, where it has actual pokes, things that protrude and hit your eyes and stuff. Have some of that. Oh, speaking of that, thank you, Dor. I will hopefully be the first one on this show. It's my Mattel.
Oh Lord,
what is that called? Viewmaster is ordered. Yes, that will be my new VR machine of choice. I hope. Well, we'll try it. $30. Not on Amazon, but I did go to Walmart. They had it pre-ordered. It'll be available on the 16th of October. And I will. And I'm predicting now that this will be the Cabbage Patch Kid of the year. This will be the number one. So if you want to stock up and get them ready for eBay, go check out the new Mattel Viewmaster. And that will be the thing that you can just load your warehouses up full of and just roll in cash after Christmas.
I'll first say that's
the Tickle Me Elmo.
I'm sorry, Mark.
The Tickle Me Elmo for 2015?
Yep, exactly.
Honestly, Eric, that's a bold statement, okay? Because I'm pretty sure this thing is Android only. If it was cross-platform, I would not argue with you, but because it's Android only, I do see it being popular, and I do see a certain amount of old people saying, Viewmaster, and then buying it for their nephew or their grandkid or something. It's one of those things, when I heard about it, I got really excited about. But as the time went on, I'm almost a little hesitant. You get it. You tell me what you think of it.
I will. Yeah.
Because I don't expect it to be awesome, like crazy insane, but I also don't think it's going to completely suck. Well, but, you know, I'll have to wait and see.
There's an old saying that says, you know, for people who are usually on the cutting edge or I don't know how you, there's a different name for it, for early adopters. Nothing is fully baked and ready for, is not really good until they put it in a bubble pack plastic package and hang it on a peg hook. And at that point, you know that the product has gotten there.
Mature.
I didn't realize. I didn't realize it was Android only. I thought you could also put an iDevice in there, but maybe not.
Well, they don't have any kind of cardboard app for iOS that I know of.
Well, there are a bunch of cardboard-ish VR players that advertise that they are iOS compatible. I'm sure there's some apps. There's probably some VR apps. All basically does is take your screen and split it in two, and you know, and move one image over a little bit.
I think I might be mistaken. Well, no, it has a Google logo on the ViewMaster, so it's definitely Android only. But it is possible to do some "quote unquote" level of this type of stuff on iPhone, but it's no way officially pushed kind of thing.
How does cardboard get around the middle-aged sight thing? You know, once you get a certain age, you can't see that close in front of your face.
Oh, well, they have lenses in them. I guess they help.
Like a binocular where you turn the knob and focus it?
Just two lenses. And you can keep your glasses on. There is room for your glasses to stay on, so I guess...
Maybe you're not there yet, Dor, but I can no longer read my email like this. I have to read my email at three-quarter arm's length now.
When I get glasses, when I forget to give them my insurance card, it's almost $1,500. Okay? It's literally like $1,200 to $1,300 for my glasses. My eyes.
So you have the multifocal thing to fix
that. I've had bifocals since like the age of 13. Yeah, my eyes are bad.
Yeah, see, I had the laser surgery. Freaking lasers, man. And it was great. I could see 2015, and then middle-aged sight kicked in. And now I can't anymore. I can see fine at a distance.
Huh. Isn't that odd?
All right. So let me read an email now from Joe Licata. He's got a question and a compliment. It says, "Hey, Dor, Eric, and Mark, I enjoy the podcast and look forward to new episodes, tangents, tech news, and oh, yeah, apps too. Question, do you receive credit if I use subscribe and save from Amazon? I've been buying tons of diapers and baby stuff, and I would buy and I would like you guys to benefit from it. I used your podnuts.com/Amazon link when I first signed up about a year ago. Keep up the excellent work. You guys are fun to listen to, except Eric. We need to get him a new mic as well as a camera. I think I have an old flip phone camera that would stream better quality than whatever he's using. I love you, Eric. Not in that way, but yes, I do enjoy listening to all of you."
Okay, first off, Eric's camera sucks because he's on Windows and it never stops trying to focus.
It's a Microsoft HD camera. That's why it sucks. It's Microsoft. Well,
okay, and two, if you people, okay, I'm going to say this in the nicest possible way. Everyone should have noticed Eric's audio quality was fine. And then starting at about 400, it started to not be fine. Steve C. edited all the shows before 400. After 400, I've been editing them. And it's clear I'm not as talented as Steve is when it comes to editing. I'm getting better. I'm the person to blame for Eric's audio. I'm not taking any blame for his video, though.
Okay, yeah.
So, to answer the question, subscribe and save. Do you have any idea, Dor?
Yeah, so the answer is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about that service. Whenever you go to Amazon to do a purchase, if you've been to the affiliate link for anybody, and I believe 30 days before that day on that browser, without clearing cache and clearing cookies, all sales go towards that affiliate purchase. Now, if 30 days pass, it doesn't matter. Or if you're on a new computer, it doesn't matter. They do not get the affiliate thing, even if you signed up for that plan while on a affiliate link. So what I ask people is every couple months, just go to panos.com/Amazon. Other months, go to other websites' affiliate link. Never go to Amazon before going to somebody's affiliate link to making sure they get some credit, because it, why not? It doesn't cost anything extra.
I thought it was 3 days and not 30.
It's actually, I want to say 45 days, but I always say 30. If you just go look at the cookie, you'll see the expiration date.
I got one little bit of correspondence that didn't make it through the email, but I thought it was extremely timely and very clever. We didn't have a show last week because Dora was too busy intoxicated in Ohio Linux Fest.
Real quick, Eric, I discovered Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Oh, yeah.
5.9% alcohol, and it literally tastes just like root beer. So after about 10 of them, when I stood up, I realized this has a lot of alcohol in it. So there's no way I could have done a show. It would have been horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, we understand. That's fine. But Kevin McLaughlin, and we're just dense. That's why we didn't come up with this, said that we should have put up a 404 error. Podcast episode not found, because it was episode 404 and we were not broadcasting it or producing it that week. And I was like, I got to give him an attaboy for coming up with that one. I'm like, man, I really wish I was that clever and smart to think of that. I thought that was genius. So yeah, this is the 404.
That's genius. And yeah, I didn't think of it.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, I think it's your
turn. Yay. I've got a Android Wear app called Jorsay. Jorsay. Let me hit enter again and see if it goes up there. There we go. Basically, what Jorsay does is, say you're driving down the road, and if you leave your notifications on, your phone buzzes, your wrist buzzes, and you're not supposed to be looking at it. So basically, just flick your wrist, and it'll start reading whatever notification just came through to you. And I had it set up to read it as loud as possible on your phone. Then it's a nice way. You know, you don't have to listen to all your messages, all your notifications coming in. But if you happen to see, whoa, that was blue, that might be inbox, and it's probably an email I was waiting for. Just flick your wrist real quick, and there you go. It starts talking. Okay. It uses the Google voice, which isn't the greatest, but it's not bad.
I just gotta say, it is hysterical that in the video. Car is clearly stationary, and he's acting like he's driving. And
oh really?
Yeah, it's like straight out of like Police Squad 1970s TV.
Because it would not be safe,
exactly,
to film the video while driving.
So my question is, what if you're driving and you swerve real quick to not get an accident, and then text starts to come across that's embarrassing you to your significant other that's in the car?
No, definitely. This will go off when you don't want it to. Be warned on that. My phone was, I forgot that I had it activated, and it was reading stuff all over the place. My kids are like, what is that? And I'm like, well, that's just this thing, you wouldn't understand. So, you're going to want to set it up when you get in the car by yourself for the travel. Other than that, you don't want to keep it on. Unless you want to look really cool with like something talking out of your pocket. Now, that's a pretty good look too.
I have the Agent app that I've talked about before that when I connect to my car Bluetooth, it starts reading my text messages. So the first time today, I was on the phone, and because I'm an AT&T customer, you can do voice and data at the same time. I was on the phone talking to somebody when I got a text message, and it started reading the text message while I'm on speakerphone. And fortunately, it wasn't my wife saying, hey, big boy. But it did make for an odd conversation because I couldn't make it stop. It was reading this long, like paragraph-long text, and I couldn't make it stop.
Yeah, I can see how that could be bad. This at least gives you the option to not have it come out.
Yeah, and I will say I do like the idea of having something else than your phone doing things when you're driving, because I just took, a 7-plus-hour trip out to Columbus, Ohio, and when I was at a place in my navigation where it was like in 2 miles do something, I am not changing that screen on my GPS. I am going to wait. I don't care if Obama sent me a text message that said, call me in 2 minutes or whoever. I'm not, because I got to turn. And then as soon as I turn, I got to know what I got to do next. So I like the idea of having a second. I literally thought about having two mounts in my car and having two phones, one with navigation turned on and one just for communications.
Does Voxer make a phone? No.
But it would have been good to have something else, so I could have did things while I was in key pressure situations of navigation. So I like the idea of this. It serves a purpose, but I'm not buying a watch, so, you know.
I love my watch. I got a new band for it. So I tell everybody that I got a classy, instead of the rubber band that come with the LGG watch, I got a classy metal one now. And that's what inspired me to buy the Cadillac. So now I've got a fancy watch that everybody talks about when they see me walking up, and I got a Cadillac.
That's nice, Eric.
You know what? I'm telling you guys, podcasting, that's where it's at. Very lucrative.
It's rolling in the dough.
Can't wait to start filling my warehouses with toys for kids. All right, I've got one more. I'm going to empty my tank real quick here. This app is going to be extremely hard to find in the Play Store if you use its real name, which is called Rover. Instead, you'd be much better off searching for it in the Google Play Store as Flipora.
Flipora.
Flipora. Or you can use my link that I put here, which makes it a lot easier. This is a nice news feed aggregator, and also has a social aspect to it where you can follow people and what they're checking out too. I think it was Flipora for a long time, and it's recently switched to Rover. I don't know. I've never heard of it before. I gotta say, I do like it. I'm gonna keep it on there. You know, I always you guys are probably tired of hearing me. I don't know where my news used to come from, but I lost it, and I'm always out for the eternal looking for getting back into the news. So.
Right.
Did I not put it in the chat here?
You did. You did.
Okay.
Now, two quickies I got to say about this. One, they have horrible images in the store. Like, the first three images are the exact same images.
They're all the same thing, and it's a picture of an Apple Watch.
But here's what I wanted to comment on. It uses the word Rickroll in their screenshot. Okay, I got to tell you guys a quick story about LLF. This guy who works for Foolish IT was there. Foolish Nick? IT, if you don't know, no, it wasn't Nick. The guy who works for it. Is Foolish IT. This guy works for Foolish IT.
Okay. All right.
And he had a little pocket device hooked up to a portable charger. I can't remember the formal name of the device, but it's basically what's called a Wi-Fi pineapple. Okay. And he had it turned on, and he had it doing some things that could have been very mischievous and very bad, but instead he had it doing very safe and harmless things. For instance, we're in the registration line for OLF. And people were pulling out their phone to pull up their thing through email so they could show the registration desk of who they were. But every time they pulled up their phone, they had Wi-Fi on. It was connecting to this Wi-Fi pineapple. And then when they went anywhere on the public-facing internet, it got redirected and it started playing out of their speakers super loud Rick Astley.
Oh, nice.
The people had no idea what was going on. They pull up their phone and all of a sudden it starts playing Never Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Down. So... when you go to a conference, people, turn your wireless off, period.
Or hope that there's no brilliant companies like Foolish IT there.
Well, yeah, I never have my wireless turned on just because I knew about Yasiger and the Wi-Fi pineapple 7+ years ago. I knew it was
so capable. So could you describe, why do they call it a pineapple, and is it shaped like a pineapple? Could you tell me what this looks like?
The first people who popularized it were Hack 5, a video podcast, where they stuck it inside a plastic pineapple and they put it out and about where it was lots of people, and you see a plastic pineapple sitting on a desk, you think it's benign, it's harmless.
Okay.
If you turn your wireless on right now, Eric, and at work you connect to, let's say, My Jobs Wireless is the name of it, My Jobs. You turn on your phone right now, you turn your Wi-Fi on right now, your phone will start screaming digitally, "My wireless! Where's my wireless? Are you there, my wireless?" Because you're always trying to connect to things that you've saved, whether it's a laptop, a desktop, a phone, a tablet, any wireless device at all will always try to connect to anything it already knows. The Wi-Fi pineapple hears devices asking for known access points, and the Wi-Fi pineapple says, "Hey, you're looking for FBI surveillance van 15? That's me. Connect to me. Yeah, come here, connect." And all devices are stupid, so they always connect to the Wi-Fi pineapple. If you've ever connected to any wireless before and have it saved in your device, when you see a Wi-Fi pineapple, you will connect to that pineapple because it will lie and say, "I'm the wireless you're looking for. Come over here."
And of course, whatever password you send it, it says, "Yeah, that's right. That's the right password." Right.
It just so happens you gave me the correct credentials. Come aboard.
That. So you know? Cool.
Yeah. But he could have been doing really mischievous stuff, really bad stuff, but instead he was just rickrolling people.
What's some of the bad stuff that, like, say somebody goes to a conference or stays in a hotel and leaves their Wi-Fi on? What things would you warn people of?
Well, mostly? never turn your wireless on, because with that he could turn it into a man in the middle, which means you could connect, not know what you're connected to. He could have the other side connected to the public facing internet, and he can intercept certificate request and turn HTTPS secured connections into normal non-secured connections, and he can capture your login for anything. He can see everything that you're doing. It's bad.
I mean, what if you're staying at a hotel that only offers wireless internet?
Then you don't turn for on a week. Wi-Fi. I don't care. You don't turn on wireless.
What if you have to use your laptop for business while you're there?
You demand that hotel gives you a hardwired connection, because there's no way to be safe. It's impossible to guarantee you're connecting who you think you're connecting to.
Short of Mac filtering.
Well, I know, but then he can just see you're asking for that Mac. Hey, it's me over here. How you doing? I'm the guy you're looking for. Yeah.
And how are you going to get the Mac of the hotel?
Simple. I just walk outside your room. I connect to it. I see the Mac address. I disconnect to it. I spoof it. It's easy.
No. How would the user get the Mac address of the Wi-Fi router of the hotel? You know, like if I...
No, see, what I would do in that, and what I have been known to do in a former life, was take a wireless router with me and plug it in hardwired to the hotel network connection.
If you have that access.
Connect to
what
it.
If you don't have a wire plug, though. Some hotels don't have any option for that. And some...
I have never been to one that does.
Okay.
And I just use my mobile data. And if I need... And here's the thing. Even if you...
We don't all have the ability to use 50 gigs of data.
But here's the thing, Mark. Even if you do that, you're not safe. Because if I'm sitting next door and I have a powered antenna, I can easily overtake the power signal coming out of your router and spoof it. In the beginning of Legend of Zelda, you walk into a cave. It says it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. In the real world, it says it's dangerous to have your wireless on. Turn it off.
Oh. You know, I could see my trip being much more relaxing if I leave my wireless off, but I just don't know if I can do it. I'll try.
I'm not as tinfoil hat-ish as Dor is. I just simply don't do certain
tinfoil
things.
Tinfoil hat implies it's not real. I was just at a conference where it was real. Okay, number one. Number two, what you can do, Eric, if you are extremely interested in being safe, is pull down your notification shade all the way, click on the icon that is a picture of you of a person, and change profiles to a guest profile. That's the safest you're going to get on your device.
I'm more worried. Not, I've got data. I'm more worried about my laptop. Well, you got me freaked out about, you know, checking my emails.
Use like incognito browser windows or create a new profile just so things are different. But there's still no guarantee.
That doesn't help a true man.
I'm still logging into a Wi-Fi of some sort. Mm-hmm. Pineapple.
Or you could get your business or Podnuts to buy you a mobile hotspot, which could help.
Yeah. You know, if I do get a mobile hotspot, it will be on a different carrier other than US Cellular, because it doesn't work anywhere except for here.
You don't get a hotspot to work around your house, Eric.
Yeah, right.
Right. All right, let me read an email, and then we'll go from there. I'm going to guess that this man's name is Sohamba Pot. He says, "Hey, guys, I'm a really huge fan of your show, and personally I would love to contribute, but as Dor may know, I'm unable to donate via Patreon. That said, I would be more than happy to donate via an Android app. To all the developers out there, I would be more than happy to spend my survey money to help out the AAA team, and I'm sure that plenty of others would also love to do the same. So let's address that before we go any further. An app specifically for donating to AAA. What do you think, Dor?
I don't know if it's possible or plausible. I know if it is, Google's going to always take a percentage off the top if it's an app, unless it's a sideloaded app, which means no one's going to download and install it. I like the idea of it, but I think what he was also trying to donate was Google Play credit. I don't know if you can donate Google Play credit. The normal way of donating is basically just you pull out a credit card and you do it. So if you don't have access to a credit card, I don't know how we can do it. I don't know if it's plausible or doable.
I have had people buy Google Play credit cards, like at Walgreens, scratch off the back and take a picture of it and send it to me that way. And then I can just type in that code and add that to my... to my play account, that's a possibility.
You could probably use a play credit to buy a gift credit, an electronic credit. That would probably work. I've never tried it.
Then Mark might, we could give it to Mark and he could spend $2 on an app finally.
Yeah, I'd happily give all my Google Play credit to Mark just to buy something. Buy the Princess Bride.
It's not that I've never bought an app. I just never paid $4 for a game, except on, you know, the Xbox, where I paid $60 for Halo and didn't think twice about it. I'm such a hypocrite.
Yeah, by the way, my GPD XD5 does have HDMI out, and I can connect it to the big screen TV, and it works quite well, is what I would say.
So continuing on to the email, he says, now getting to the meat of the email, I recently wrote an article about back-to-school apps on AndroidEnthusiast.tk. And some of these may be useful to your kids. Just don't tell them about Photomath. They'll probably cheat on their homework. I would recommend My Study Life to anyone looking for a planner / class management app.
Yeah, that planner class management app, if your school supports it as well, that app is crazy useful. It looks unbelievably cool. My kids' school, I guess, are too little. The only thing we have is My School Bucks. They pay money for lunches.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, you pay $1.50 processing fee every time you reload their account. It's neat.
Right. All right, continuing on, he says, I have one quick question for Mark. How do you pronounce your website name? I was thinking about it, and here are the ones that I've come up with so far. Element OP, Element OPI, Element Topi, Element 2P. It was just a random thought on my school bus when I forgot my phone, so apologies if it seems weird. So it's Element OPI. It's a play on the middle of the alphabet, L-M-N-O-P. Nobody ever gets that. That's okay. You're not alone in that. Yeah. Yes, Eric did. So yeah, it's Element OP. It's two words. And I used to say Element as in periodic table of elements, and Element and OP as in OP Taylor. Nobody knows who OP Taylor is anymore, but there was a character on
Andy Griffith.
That motorcycle show.
Andy what, Griffith. Was it? OP.
No, but no, in the modern time, nobody knows Andy Griffith. It's the Sons of Anarchy. Oh. There was an OP there. So maybe that's more relevant. OP from Sons of Anarchy. So I wanted to get lmnop.com, but that was
that taken 20 years ago. So, I'm sure.
Yeah, a long time ago. All right. And then lastly, he says, I really admire the way you guys always bring new apps. I was listening to the other AAA podcast. I listen to that rarely because the hosts always seem knowledgeable, seem less knowledgeable than me about most news items. So I just listen when there's a major news event. But anyway, I heard them say on so many episodes how it's hard to find apps. And I really think they should take a look at your app spreadsheet. I'm not sure they're not. So I would just like to end this very long email by thanking Dor for mentioning the site and also by saying how your podcast has saved me from hours of boredom on my school bus. Keep up the great work, you guys, from the Android Enthusiast.
Thanks for the email. Yeah. That's great.
That's I always pronounce his name Soham. I don't know if it's right or wrong because I'm an ignorant American.
I'm going with Soham Bhopat, which it sounds very Indian.
I'll go for that.
I think it's from, wasn't it Tokyo, though? Did he say .tk? For his website?
No. We got .tk because it was a fee-free domain that we could assign to a hosting provider because he doesn't have a credit card and he wouldn't take money from me. So
cool.
We got that. He's in the UK. He's in school in, I believe, somewhere in the UK. Emails are gold, period. He puts out genuine, real person content. I've said this a couple times. I'm going to say it a couple more times here. Podnuts, first and foremost, is normal people doing podcasts for normal people. We're not tech journalists. We're not bougie. We're not any of these people who think that they're greater than anybody else. We have real jobs. We work for a living. We do podcasts for fun. This is not our livelihood. We don't take money from every company under the sun just to keep our head above water. We're normal people. And he's a normal person producing normal content in blog format. That's why every time I see one of his postings, I share it back out because you know you're getting real content. You're getting earthy content. If you were able to take the content and shove it in your mouth, it would taste like dirt because it's real. Where when you go to other places and you put the content in your mouth, it tastes like air because it's hollow and pointless journalism. But, you know, that's just my bias.
There you go.
Real people for the win.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I firmly believe as time goes on, normal people are going to drive more content than ever because who can you believe more? The person who has a 9-to-5 job, a kid who gets suspended from school seemingly every damn week, taking money out of his own pocket, buying a piece of hardware that nobody else is talking about anywhere, and telling you it's freaking awesome. or somebody who got sent something for free and says, "Oh, it has such a good feel on the buttons." It's just they have just the right distance traveled. It's just really well. No, you're not going to believe them because you
door, that was perfect. Oh my gosh.
Well, and yes, I purposely sounded like Thurston Howe III from Gilligan's Island.
Yes, lovey. So I'm reading, listening to right now the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson. I held off for a couple of years because everybody, it was the trendy thing to do, and I don't like to be trendy. And I've never been a huge fan of Jobs in general, as either as a person or as a tech mogul. It just he's very slimy. Just in general, right? The way he lived his life and the way he did his business. And listening to this book, and the book is very much, you can tell the author is absolutely in love with Steve Jobs. But every chapter in, I go, I hate him a little more. And, you know, you're not supposed to do that when you read a biography of somebody. But I just, I'm coming away with it with the worst taste in my mouth. Like, this was a terrible human being who manipulated his way to being a billionaire. And the whole time patted himself on the back for being the greatest person ever. So just a little free.
I haven't started listening to that audiobook yet myself, but I have had it for a while.
Well, and that was why I never liked him. I knew he invented nothing ever because he didn't have the brain capacity to invent anything. He was too high on peyote a third of his life and other drugs. Two, the only thing he was good at was manipulation. He was great at it. He was fantastic at it. He could get anybody to do anything, believe anything. Hence, the people who owned Macs for 20 years, whatever, looked at it as a religion, looked at it as you couldn't talk down about it because our great Lord.
Well,
Savior,
he had a second talent that went along, you know, with that. He had the ability to recognize brilliant, talented people and to manipulate them. So either one of those is dangerous, but you put the two together and he built an empire off of other people's work.
And, you know, I'm not going to say the world is better or worse because of it. I like the fact that there's now greater competition on all levels, but I really do question the longevity of that company now because they've really done nothing really innovative. They put out a craptastic square watch with $1,000 band. You know, that's not innovating.
Yeah, and as the owner of a square watch, Square's not the where it's at, but they will be able to sell another 10 billion of them when they make them round next year. But yeah, a round watch off the bat would have been smarter, but they couldn't sell two of them then.
You think that was their strategy? Sell the one that people don't really want, and then so that you can later sell the one that
they want? Yeah, as a square watch owner, I'd much rather have a round watch.
I partially believe they did
round watches.
They did square because it was A, easier to do, out the door quicker, but also I think they just thought, oh, we're going to be different. Oh. You know, we want you to be able to see our watch from 100 feet away, and you know it's an Apple Watch.
Oh, you wouldn't believe how many times people ask me if I got an Apple Watch on. Every time. Right. Every time. And I get so many, especially since the Apple Watch came out. I mean, the very first weekend I wore my watch when I got it, somebody was like, I was getting out of a cab, and he was jumping in the same cab. He's like, "Hey, is that a G-Watch?" I'm like, "Yeah, it is." I'm like, thank you, Podnuts listeners, for donating me that watch. And I've never really had that, you know, that feeling before in my life. So that was a good plus. And then, but now it's, I get comments on it all the time. Oh, that's a cool watch. Is it an Apple Watch? Oh, that's cool. And sometimes they don't ask if it's an Apple, but a lot of times they do. I'm like, no, it's a G watch. Oh, it must mean.
I get that with my silver round watch. Is that an Apple Watch?
Is it a digital? Is it a LCD screen watch?
Yeah, it's a Moto 360. Yeah.
Oh, and they ask if it's an Apple Watch.
Which looks nothing like an Apple Watch.
Yeah, people are, I don't know, there's an attraction to watches right now. I hadn't worn watches for 20 years because I made the batteries go dead.
It's just the hip thing. It's going to fade. It's going to change. It's going to be something else, you know.
I'm going to keep wearing one. I like it. I really, it's been useful. I never thought it would be. I'm in. Especially one that charges every night. I don't have to worry about running the battery dead.
Right. Well, when I say they're going to fade, they're going to fade from being incredibly hip. They're going to be around from now until, you know, whenever, because they are going to serve a purpose.
All right. That seems like a good a place as any to end the show. We had a good mix of apps and discussion and emails and tangents and rants. So that's a pretty well-rounded show.
Yeah.
So at this point, I will ask for your final thoughts. Eric, what are your final thoughts?
I'm going to miss you guys next week. That's my thought. There's no way I can get to be on the show next week. And it's not going to be because of not your father's root beer. I will be genuinely out of commission. In a different kind of meeting with other people other than you guys.
Are you going to say, hello, my name is Eric?
No. Okay. No, I might have to introduce myself, but it won't be in that context.
That's good.
I was at some meeting, I don't know what it was, and they had those cheap little hello, my name is name tags, and somebody wrote Inigo Montoya on his, and I just had to laugh.
What's that reference from? I don't understand. I've never seen that.
Princess Bride. Yeah. Go watch it. You can't come back in 2 weeks unless you've seen
it. If it's on Google Play, there's a good chance I could watch it while I'm gone. Unless it's only Wi-Fi, and then I wouldn't even take a chance at it.
You're not never going to connect to Wi-Fi ever.
I might as well just break my laptop in half. Forget it. It's not worth it.
Door, final thoughts for the evening.
I'm happy we are well-rounded and not square, I guess.
It's hip to be square,
well,
so I hear.
Huey said that about 30 years ago, but have you seen him lately?
Ooh, my Lord. No, I haven't.
Now, I want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank, again, Steve C. Yes, he charged me money. No, he didn't charge me enough. No, I can't pay him enough money for what he helped me do with the Podnuts brand, all the history with it, and the new website. If you haven't been to the new website, seriously, it's not complete. It's not feature complete. I look at it as an agile development process where we're constantly innovating, a.k.a. it's a work in progress. But I think it looks damn good. And Richard Quirin is the other guy. If I had enough money to buy him a car, he would wake up tomorrow morning and there'll be a car up front of his house. Because the work he did looks ballistically good. I was listening to one of the Podnut shows today on my phone, and I turned on my screen, and I just thought to myself, damn, that looks good. I really can't thank everybody enough for all their support. If you can subscribe and tell friends, great. If you can go to Amazon and podnuts.com/Amazon, great. If you can go to iTunes, great. Just send us emails and stuff. That's awesome. I want to thank everyone again. And Mark, thank you for taking time out of your week to come out and hang with us for an hour and a half.
Love doing it. So I will say my final thoughts for the evening. If you want to check out a little more about me, you can do that at elementopi.com. We have done other shows in the past. Right now, there's one show, Everyday Linux, which is probably going to be rebranded soon. So it's a limited edition podcast. So check it out. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for inviting me on here, guys. I love it doing it every week. You who are listening, thank you. You are literally the reason we do the show. It would be a little silly for all of us to get to hear behind mics and green screens and cameras and stuff if nobody listened. So we appreciate that. And we'll see you next time on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.